This is the Division 2, Division 3 podcast.
Welcome to the Division 3 podcast. I am Matt Kinnear. It is the most wonderful time of the year. It is NCAA tournament time. We just had a really exciting, surprise-filled conference tournament championship weekend that really shook up the D3 landscape and shaped the Division 3 bracket. We are here with D3 expert Ken Stockman, who was at RIT this weekend and got to see a good game. Ken, overall, you're looking at this D3 bracket. What are some of your overall impressions and first things that come to mind when you see this bracket?
All right, yeah, thanks again for having me, Matt. First things, looking at the bracket, you know, there wasn't a ton of surprises as far as, you know, the pool season, who was going to get in. With all those upsets in the conference tournaments, you know, it was relatively clear, you know, Plattsburgh wins the Suniac, Cortland with only two losses on the season was going to get a C. You know, the same goes for York down south. You knew they were getting in, and, you know, Bates up north. So it was pretty much a given on who was going to grab those C's. The only questionable ones were, you know, Lynchburg possibly being the last team in, you know, should it have been Gettysburg, should it have been Dickinson. Those teams are right on the cusp. Ithaca had a nice year, maybe lost one or two too many. But, you know, aside from that, it was pretty clear cut on who was getting in. The big surprises were more or less on the pairings and to see where people were going to go and who they were going to play. You know, the biggest one being, you know, Stevenson being put into that northern bracket, drawing Nazareth in their first game. And, you know, then the way to upset the northern bracket kind of sits up with, you know, all NESCAC teams in one, all upstate teams in the other. You know, that's really kind of interesting. And in the south, it's, you know, a little less interesting, I would say. But, you know, Salisbury with a couple of tough games coming up in the quarterfinals and Denison looking like they're the team that's going to maybe run through their portion of the bracket.
RIT is a team that you've seen a great deal of this season, and including this past weekend. Is it safe to say that they're the favorite in the North? And just overall, your impressions, how hot is this team coming into the tournament? Do they look like they have what it takes to kind of make a serious run here in the NCAAs?
Yeah, RIT is a team I do get to watch a lot. I live in Rochester, so I get an opportunity to get out and see their games more often than others. But, since their two-game slump in the beginning of the season, they've really turned things around. They're clicking on offense. They're up and down the field like you're used to seeing from them, getting a lot of shots off. Nesbitt's playing fantastic in the goal right now, seeing the ball really well. And, you know, the way they're playing and the way they're never really out of a game. They started out in the Liberty League championship against St. Lawrence this weekend. They were down by a few goals, came right back, jumped out on them. They gave up a few in transition off the faceoff in the end of the game that, you know, ultimately tied it up. But it wasn't really one of those. It was kind of like inevitable, you know. RT's going to get this goal. They won the faceoff when it mattered, called a timeout, got the goal. It was kind of just, you know, par for the course for them. They're playing really well. I think they can run the table in the North, get to the Memorial Day weekend, but it's not to say they're not going to have a lot of challenges. Certainly, even teams in their own little bracket of, you know, the upstate quadrant, or as we're kind of calling it, and then certainly whoever comes out of the other one, you know, the NESCAC team that sort of emerges over there is definitely going to be a challenge for them as well.
Presuming that they win their first round contest against John Carroll. John Carroll won tonight in their first preliminary round game. They're going to play either Stevenson or Nazareth. You know, I know that Stevenson and Nazareth have had better seasons. You know, Stevenson has 5 losses. Nazareth has 8 losses right now. But these aren't exactly teams that you want to play that early in the NCAA tournament. Those two teams, you know, obviously they can at least give RIT some challenges. What have you seen from both of them?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously RIT's played both of those teams this year. I saw Stevenson in their second game of the year, which was Stevenson's first game of the year, and kind of ran away with that one. A couple weeks ago they played Nazareth in what a game used to be such a big deal here in Rochester. It was like on a Tuesday afternoon, and I think they won by about 20. But since then, you know, since they saw Stevenson, since they saw Nazareth, they're both quite different teams. Stevenson's found their groove on offense. Their goalie's playing a little better. They got DeFazio on defense, who's playing outstanding. So they're playing a lot better lacrosse right now. And the big difference for Nazareth at this point is their faceoff kid. Delisle. He's winning nearly 74% of his draws, almost single-handedly took them through the Empire 8 tournament. And, you know, I don't think anybody's facing off better than him right now in Division III. So, you know, either of those teams, whatever team wins that game, which I think is going to be one of the more interesting games of the first round, or as they're calling it, the second round, you know, RIT is going to have their hands full. I think they're the favorite in that game, whoever they get, but definitely going to be closer contest than what it was during the regular season.
In the rest of that upstate quadrant of the D3 North bracket, we have Cortland versus Endicott and St. Lawrence versus Montclair State. Ken, is there anything that you can pull away from these games, anything that you expect out of these two contests?
I definitely like the home teams in both of these games. The Montclair State St. Lawrence game is kind of interesting to me. The one thing that is interesting, aside from the fact that Montclair has themselves quite the bus ride to get up to St. Lawrence, is Montclair, they're a good team, struggled very much so in the beginning of the season, kind of turned things on, won their conference, won the Skyline Championship. They're a good team. They're a talented team that's sort of improved as the season goes on. St. Lawrence, their only two losses of the year is to RIT. So that tells you a little bit something about them. And in the other matchup, Cortland-Endicott, I do like that game. Endicott, you know, a team that won their conference, got in by the IQ, or AQ, and, you know, Cortland's coming off of a loss, only their second one of the year. Certainly going to be a very motivated team after losing the Suniac for the first time in ages. And, you know, I don't think either way teams are going to win these matchups, but, you know, they should be good games nonetheless, and the St. Lawrence-Cortland game is one I'm hoping happens and looking forward to in the next round.
I know you were excited when you got to write the tweet that Plattsburgh is going to the NCAA tournament. They're playing against Bates in what we're kind of calling that NESCAC portion of the bracket. Bates versus Plattsburgh, your alma mater. Obviously, you're personally very excited, but what do you see from Bates versus Plattsburgh?
First of all, shout out to Plattsburgh, Coach May, his staff, all the guys up there. I am an alum. I was on the very first team in Plattsburgh State history, so it's been a long time coming. I'm really proud of those guys and excited to see them get in the tournament for the first time. With that said, that's a heck of a draw. Bates is a really good team. One loss on the year, lost to Wesleyan in the NESCAC semis. That's a tough matchup. They have so much on offense, you know, between Fay and Weber, Melvin, and, you know, they're just a tough matchup for anybody. I'm not sure Plattsburgh has the defense to stick with those guys, but Plattsburgh can score. They get up and down the field. They're scrappy. You know, they're state school kids. I give them a bit of a fighter's chance, but I do like Bates. I pretty much like Bates coming out of that whole area there to maybe move all the way through to the semis to face RIT. So I think that's a tough matchup for my Cardinals. In the other games, you know, you got all the other teams. Wesleyan's got New England College. I think, you know, Wesleyan's one of the hottest teams in the country right now. They're 17-1. Their only loss was to Bates during the regular season. So, you know, they're clearly a very, very good team. Tufts is tough. And, you know, this is their time of the year. This is their time of year. They get it turned on. You know, I don't think anybody's counting them out. And Amherst is a team that had a nice run. Now, you know, they've got Springfield. Tufts has to face Keene State. Both very good teams, should be good games, but I almost expect all the NESCAC teams to move on and then have to kind of beat each other up to move on through the bracket.
And we know from this year's NESCAC tournament that when you get those teams together facing each other, absolutely anything can happen. Wesleyan winning the NESCAC tournament is exactly how everybody drew it up, right?
Yeah, Wesleyan over Middlebury is exactly what everybody would have called in the beginning of the season. You know, Middlebury really turned it on, went on a nice run at the end. It was a little too little too late for them to sneak into the tournament, but, you know, nice way to finish the season for them. They're going to be a good team in the future. But, yeah, Wesleyan's playing good. And, you know, again, you got Tufts and Bates there who are the going into the season the favorites, and then Amherst too. Had to put together another nice season and can definitely score in bunches at times.
Ken, I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit and ask you, what are your quarterfinal matchups going to be for this bracket? Who do you predict to make it that far?
I like in that little spot there with all the NESCAC teams. I like all the NESCAC teams. I like Bates, Amherst, Tufts, Wesleyan, and then probably Bates Wesleyan again. I'm not sure how that's going to come out. I would think Bates might, you know, try to get some revenge on that NESCAC tournament loss. And then in the upper portion of the northern bracket, I like RIT and Cortland, actually, to play each other.
Interesting. And one of those teams that I think might be one to watch kind of in that third round is Amherst against Bates. You know, Amherst is one of those teams that I think in any given game is capable of just exploding and beating whoever is in front of them. So that's one that I would kind of put on upset alert heading into that quarterfinal round. And then, you know, Cortland St. Lawrence, I honestly have no idea. That's one of those games that I'm going to take your word for it. If you think Cortland's good advance, then I will second that one then. But I guess the question comes down to, no matter what happens in the North, I mean, Salisbury's just a clear favorite in this tournament, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's playing on the level Salisbury's playing on right now. That defense is unbelievable. That attack, they've got so many guys on that attack that can score points. You got Blondino with 105 points on the season already, 46 goals, 59 assists. You know, Kalama's got 51 goals. Garbino's got 50 goals. And they're so tough to score on. They're just, like you said, they're kind of on another level. They're the clear-cut favorite to win it all. But, you know, that being said, Cabrini got him. So it's hard to say. But, yeah, I think if I was a betting man, my money would be on Salisbury for sure.
Obviously, we've been focused on the north side of the bracket. And myself and Josh Davey are going to talk a little bit about the south. But one game that you pointed out in your column for this week, your D3 column, is the F&M versus Elizabethtown. And that's probably the most interesting first-round matchup, no matter what side of the bracket, no matter which region you rep. F&M, Elizabethtown, what's so interesting about this one?
I really like this game. Both teams are letting off just a little bit over 8 goals a game, so they got pretty stout defenses. F&M's 15-2 right now. Elizabethtown 14-3. The last team to beat Elizabethtown was F&M. It was 11-10 game. So, you know, you're talking about two very evenly matched team opponents. I think it's going to be the best game of the first round. I'm really looking forward to that one. I haven't had an opportunity to see a ton of Elizabethtown this year, but looking at the numbers and the little bit I have seen of them, I think, you know, they can hang right with Franken and Marshall again. And I think it's anybody's game coming out of there.
Thanks, Ken, for your time. I think the overarching thing is if this tournament is at all as interesting as the last week of the Division III season, we are definitely in for a ride. So I appreciate you kind of bringing us along on this journey, Ken. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Matt.
Here we are, Matt Kinnear here with Josh Davey to talk about the Division III bracket, snubs, surprises, first round matchups, and a lot more, particularly in the South region we're going to talk about today. Josh, it was a fun D3 weekend, and the tournament is setting up to be a really fun event, and I think our first impressions were kind of the same. And that Salisbury has a nice little run to the tournament there. If all goes kind of to plan there, you know, Salisbury looks like they have a pretty good path to get to at least to the quarterfinals, semifinals, or final, which I guess is deserved. If you're the number one seed, that's kind of how it should play out, right?
Yeah, I think the committee certainly rewarded Salisbury for their efforts this season, going 17-1. You know, with the first round bye for coming up this Wednesday, you know, they'll play the winner of Misericordia and LaSalle. So, and then they'll get the winner of Hampton Sydney and Transylvania. So, I expect Salisbury to kind of cruise through at least to the quarterfinals, where they should face a little better competition. You know, not taking anything away from Hampton Sydney, who, you know, knocked off WNL and Lynchburg to run the table in the ODAC tournament. But I think Salisbury should be just fine. Could feel safe getting to May 17th for the quarterfinals.
I went and got coffee with Mike Gilbert, who's a York College alum, and played on that team there. And we were talking about this bracket, and you know, it just feels like this is a Salisbury year. He was watching one of their games over the weekend and over a few weekends ago, and he agreed with me that this team is just absolutely going to be almost impossible to beat. You know, I know they had the loss to Cabrini, but that's kind of the worst thing that you can do is beat Salisbury in the regular season, because that just means that you just woke up the giant and they're just going to roll for the rest of the postseason. Me personally, you know, I think I've said it all year that Salisbury is my pick to win the national championship, and just kind of the way that the bracket is shaping up and the way that the North bracket doesn't seem like there's a clear front runner. And I feel like those teams are going to beat each other up a little bit more.
Yep.
You know, I think that Salisbury really kind of has the inside track to this national championship, and Berkman is just going to keep adding to his legacy with that incredible defense and incredible team that they have.
I would agree with their one loss coming to Cabrini on a Thursday after beating York, their, you know, kind of in conference rival on a Wednesday. So, you know, beating them at home and then going to Philadelphia to play Cabrini the very next day, you know, within 24 hours is a tough task for anyone. So, you know, there should be a little asterisk next to that loss as well, because that's a lot to ask from anyone, whether you're Salisbury or, you know, anyone else. So, yeah, I concur. I think Salisbury is definitely the team, the target on their back. But I think that anything can happen. You know, this is the time of year where, you know, teams get a groove, and, you know, some of those teams with some senior leadership, you know, every day could be the last day for some of these teams, and that's a scary thought. So certainly going to have to continue to bring their A game, but I definitely would agree that it's kind of theirs to lose, especially on the top half of that South bracket.
And they certainly brought their A game in their conference championship, just putting a beating on York in that conference championship. And
twice now.
Yeah.
More than 10 goals, 2 wins over York, which is – I did not expect that.
And last year we saw, you know, they beat York pretty handily in the regular season, then York came back and beat them in the conference championship, but – you know, it's just the thing with Salisbury, you know, and that's why I brought up the Cabrini losses. Like, you're almost better off just kind of waiting and hoping that their loss comes in the quarterfinals, not in the regular season at some point, because once you beat them, they just kind of get revenge on you for the rest of the year. But looking at the rest of this bracket, you know, we're going to talk about some of the second round matchups that are the most interesting. The second round is May 10th after the two play-in games. There's a play-in game in the North and play-in game in the South are going to happen on May 9th. One thing, though, I want to say about the bracket, shout out to Brian Powell, BG Powell, on Twitter for sharing this really interesting stat about the D3 bracket. This is the first time that neither Washington College nor Gettysburg have made the tournament since 1979, which is pretty remarkable. And, you know, it's, you know, I saw Washington College play Salisbury early in the year, and they didn't really feel like a tournament team there. They almost got shut out by Salisbury. Gettysburg's a team that I thought was going to be a lot better, but just very interesting the way that this shook out and that neither of those teams are in this tournament.
I think you could argue that Gettysburg, you know, could have gotten in with only two of the Pool C bids going to Southern schools in Lynchburg and York, who I think were more deserving than Gettysburg. You know, they lose the Centennial Conference Championship by one goal to F&M, you know, who's playing great right now. So I think that was, you know, if you want to talk about a snub, Gettysburg could have been, you know, one of the people to discuss. But, yeah, you know, it's talk about parity in the sport. The game's growing, and two of those kind of perennial historic powerhouses, you know, miss out this year. And, you know, if I had to bet on it, I'm sure you could count on them being back next year. But it's good for the sport, and, you know, excited to see some of these new faces in the mix this year.
In that snub conversation, you also have Dickinson.
Yep.
And Roanoke probably, you know, there. But like you said, you know, I think the right teams got in. I think the community did a good job in that respect. And Gettysburg, I would say, is that first team out, if you had to kind of look at the in terms of the South, you know, in terms of which teams did not make it. But, you know, I think there's a clear the second round, you know, a lot of these, the home teams are going to cruise. But I think there is at least one clear game that is going to be very interesting and probably the most tightly contested in the second round of this NCAA D3 tournament. And that's Franklin Marshall versus Elizabethtown. Josh, you know these programs pretty well. What's kind of your read on this game here?
Yeah, so they played back in March, and it was a one-goal game. Franklin Marshall beat Elizabethtown, I believe 11-10. E-Town, you know, under you know, first-year head coach Chris Brzezinski has done an amazing job, you know, with that program, going 14-3 this year. You know, they beat, you know, teams like W&L for their first ranked win under Coach P. But they are a team that is very senior-led. They have seven seniors are their top seven leading scorers on this team. And that's a dangerous combo, especially when you get into the NCAA tournament. You know, those guys, like I said earlier, you know, they only have so many practices left. So it's a little bit more of a bigger chip on their shoulder. And they just can't win faceoffs right now. That's their biggest thing. They're winning games and going 3-for-20 at the faceoff X. And that's where I give the slight edge in this game as a whole to F&M, who has won 15 straight games. They're 15-2 with two losses coming in the beginning of the year back in February. You know, they have this saying right now, you know, don't let the dips get hot. They're definitely hot right now. You know, freshman Kevin Mollihan scored the game-winning goal against Gettysburg to kind of seal the Centennial Conference Championship, you know, along with Sean Rogers, who's a senior. You know, Coach Cavallaro has done an awesome job, you know, kind of grooming this team and get them to where they are. Obviously, when you have a freshman come in and score, I think he has like 80 points this year, it's obviously going to help. But I think it's going to be an awesome matchup. It's a 4 o'clock game, two, you know, kind of southern Lancaster County sort of Pennsylvania area teams. You know, pretty quick drive for those guys. So I think it should be a great game at 4 o'clock. If I had to pick, I would say F&M edges it out in a really, really close game again, just due to the lack of face-off success for Elizabethtown. But that's definitely the one I have circled for the best the best second-round matchup on May 10th.
You know, you look at these two teams, like you said, both teams are hot. F&M has got a 15-game winning streak. Elizabethtown has a 10-game win streak. Something's got to break in this game. What's kind of the over-under here? You know, both kind of pretty stingy defenses. Do you expect this to maybe be like a 8-7 kind of finish? Or do you think it's just in the tournament with the way that the anxiety of the tournament is, maybe it'll get a little bit more high scoring, a little bit less scoring? How do you see this game shaking out?
I would say I would err on the side of being a little lower scoring. It was 11-10 last time. I would say it's kind of that, you know, kind of race to 10. I think both teams, you know, you come out, they're both... Elizabethtown hasn't been to the tournament in a while. F&M has you know, some young guys getting some serious time for them. I think coming out a little tight to start, you know, the nerves are there. I think they'll draw a great crowd up in Lancaster for this game at F&M. You know, they're a great facility up there. I think there'll be a lot of people, you know, especially with the schools being so close. So I think it's a little tight. They'll start a little tight. You know, there'll be some mistakes as, you know, it's a big stage. But, you know, I you know, 9-8. You know, 9-7 sort of game, I can see. And I wouldn't be surprised if Elizabethtown takes it to him. I just give F&M the advantage, like I said, just at the face-off X. But, you know, Coach Brzezinski at Elizabethtown has done an amazing job. And, you know, I expect him to throw a little wrinkle in there. And those guys will be ready to go to face another, you know, a great F&M team.
As we all know that, you know, these brackets aren't perfect. You know, a lot of concessions are made in terms of geography.
Sure.
You know, to kind of make the thing work. And obviously they want to avoid as many, you know, long travel days as they can, long flights. And, you know, so you have two rematches in this second round, Lynchburg versus Sewanee and Aurora versus Illinois Wesleyan. You know, I think it's pretty clear that the home teams are the favorite to win those games. And kind of like we said, it seems like that Franklin Marshall Elizabethtown game is the one that's going to be the most kind of competitive, compelling matchup. You know, I think we'll talk with Ken Stockman about the North bracket a little bit. I think that's where you get a lot more of those really, really interesting second round matchups. I think there's a handful of games there that, you know, the home team could definitely lose in that North bracket. And another thing that's interesting about the North is they have Southern Power Stevenson in their bracket as well. They got bumped to the North just the way that the bracket shook out. And I mean, that's a really tough draw for Stevenson. If they were in the South bracket, I could see them making a run to the quarterfinals. But with this North bracket, I just don't know. You know, they'd have a second round game against Nazareth, which is not easy. We saw Nazareth beat Ithaca, you know, just recently, and then we have a third round match potentially against RIT, which, you know, we already saw that game shake out once, and RIT is arguably the favorite in the North. You know, they are the top seed, and you know, you could probably make a case for three teams in the North, but they're probably arguably the favorite there. So I am not envious of Stevenson in their position for this NCAA tournament.
No, I'd imagine Coach Canabine's shaking his head a little bit. You know, having Nazareth come to them. You know, Cabrini's kind of been that team in the past that has been the southern, you know, geographic located team that's played in the North. And for some reason this year at Stevenson, you know, Nazareth's also a team that has made the trip and played at Mustang Stadium before in the Mustang Classic. So, you know, they'll at least be familiar with the locker rooms. And that stuff goes a long way. So, you know, if Stevenson can get by Nazareth, you know, they obviously have to go play RIT, which is tough. They definitely got the short end of the stick here, and that's a tough out for anyone. So, you know, you know, if they can get through NAS and RIT, I'll tell you what, Stevenson will be a team to that can certainly shake up the North. You know, that we wouldn't have expected talking about being in the North at all. So, you know, it's interesting how, you know, obviously sacrifices are made due to travel and stuff like that, like we had mentioned. But, yeah, I mean, again, Coach Canabin, he'll have his guys ready to go. And I would imagine Stevenson is ready to rock at Mustang Stadium out in Owings Mills for tomorrow.
So looking ahead a little bit, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Let's talk quarterfinals. Who are your teams that are going to make the Division III quarterfinals?
Yeah, so at the top for the South, right?
For the South.
So I have Salisbury, you know, getting past Hamden City, taking care of Transylvania, and Salisbury taking care of the Tigers, so making it to the top of that Southern bracket quarterfinal. And then it gets tough here. You know, we mentioned F&M and Elizabethtown. Cabrini plays Colorado College. I expect Cabrini to handle Colorado College. And like I mentioned, F&M with the slate victory over Elizabethtown. I expect Cabrini to be the other team that ends up getting that rematch with Salisbury in the quarterfinals. They've just got a lot of young players, but they still have, you know, Evan Downey, who's feel like it's been there for a long time, putting the ball in the back of the net for them. So looking forward to that. It'll be a great, you know, rematch. Salisbury, I'm sure, will be ready for that one as the only team to knock them off. Then the bottom half of that South bracket, I think it's Denison pretty easily makes it to the quarterfinals. You know, they have Carthage, and then they would await the winner of Aurora, Illinois Wesleyan. Denison has won 15 straight games with their one loss coming back in February to Washington and Lee. So Coach Caravana has his guys hot right now as well. And then at the bottom, you know, surprise, surprise, I have Lynchburg making it to the quarterfinals. They've played Sewanee this year already and handled them pretty good. York will play Morrisville State. I don't know too much about that program, but I would imagine York should be ready to go for a home game for that one. And then you get a Lynchburg-York rematch. Lynchburg is the only team that's beaten York this year other than Salisbury, who's done it twice in a double overtime thriller back in March. Like I said, I trust some of the seniors, and Lynchburg has a kind of triple-headed first-line midfield of seniors right now with Chris Kamarka, Harrison Brennan, Joey Gianaris, Daniel Owen, some of those guys. So I'll give it to the Hornets to take it to York on May 13th and kind of round out that top four spots for the quarterfinals in the South bracket.
Interesting. Surprise, surprise, you went with Lynchburg. Mine's close, but different. You know, Salisbury, like we've said, they're cruising to the quarterfinals. I have no doubt about that one. This next kind of cluster of teams is where it gets really difficult in my mind. I do think F&M is going to win in the second round against Elizabethtown, setting up a match against Cabrini. This is a tough one, but I'm giving F&M the edge here. You know, I think Cabrini very likely has... You know, that's a game that you can kind of look past a little bit and say, oh, we're going to have Salisbury. You know, that's the team that we beat in the quarter. That's the team we beat earlier this year. You know, we're going to face them in the quarterfinals. Maybe they'll look past F&M a little bit. And you know, I can see F&M kind of squeaking past them in this one. So I'm going to set up Salisbury versus F&M in the quarterfinals there on May 17th. The next bracket, Denison. I really like Denison a lot. I think maybe they'll even be a semifinal team. And I think Liam Rooney needs some serious consideration as player Definitely. Of the year. You know, I just love
like 95 points.
Yeah, I think he's up to 99 now. You know, he's a special player, and I don't know if he gets the attention of some of the other guys just because of them being in the Midwest. And but I think Denison's going to roll, and they're going to be in the quarterfinals. And then I'm giving it to York in the quarterfinals on May 17th against Denison. Lynchburg beat them earlier in the year. I know that, and you know that's going to set up that third round matchup. But I think York was kind of embarrassed how they played against Salisbury, and they're going to come out pretty hot. You know, I think this is a team that's, you can see it going either way. You know, they have a deflating loss to Salisbury, and it just kind of sends, you know, their postseason into a tailspin. But I don't see this team doing that. I don't see Coach Childs letting that happen. They seem too mentally tough. I think they're going to bounce back and beat Lynchburg in the third round, setting up a quarterfinal appearance.
I think it's going to be awesome. You know, it's the best time of year. It's going to be super exciting. You know, I'm hoping Lynchburg takes care of Sewanee so I can go catch that game, just wrap up 83 on Saturday and catch that game on Saturday. I will say this, though. If the Hornets get through to the quarterfinals and await Denison, Denison was a team in 2012 when Lynchburg was a number two seed. It was my junior year. You know, we had been in the top five for most of the year. That 2012 class was a game changer for the Hornets. Denison knocked them off in that we had a bye and then in that second round, and I can promise you that that's something Coach Kadelka has not forgot. And with John Lombardo, an assistant coach there who was a senior in 2012, Dylan Hoff, two of the kind of staples of that 2012 class, they'll be they will not forget that one. I can promise you that. So regardless of how it shakes out, it's going to be an awesome couple of weeks. I love that it goes kind of Wednesday, Saturday. Wednesday we get to squeeze all this great lacrosse into, you know, about 2 weeks here. So, you know, if you're a lacrosse fan, you got to get out to some of these games, support these programs, and it should be a great final run to Foxborough.
And that's a great point. You know, and I'm taking a little bit of a tangent here, but with on Twitter, you know, when the brackets are unveiled, there's a lot of complaining about should teams have AQs, you know, the best teams don't get into the tournament and all this stuff. Patrick McEwen, our boy Lax Film Room on Twitter, I thought made the best point of the night. And that was, we need to get more people talking about the games they're going to be going to and going into the stands and being there live for these games, as opposed to just complaining about the bracket. Because, you know, and obviously I get it, you know, if your team doesn't make it, you're upset, you know, there's a lot of legitimate gripes about the way that these brackets are put together. But it doesn't look good for the sport when at the highest level, when there's no excuses, when it's not 20 degrees outside, you know, when it's nice spring weather, when the stakes are high, when they're good games, it looks bad for the sport when there's empty seats at these games. And athletic directors notice that kind of stuff. You know, they go and they show up to a game and they see half empty stands. They're not going to support the lacrosse program in any significant way. This is kind of the one, you know, people talk about growing the game. This is the one thing that as a casual fan, you can most easily do. And it's a fun thing that you can do is go to these games, especially at this D2, D3 level. You know, there's no reason just to, usually admission is nothing or very minimal. You can show up 5 minutes for the game. It's, you know, fun. You can even tailgate if you want to beforehand. There's just no reason not to do it.
I think NCAAs, they do charge you a little bit. But there's also live streams. Some of these, you know, if you've ever seen Stevenson's live stream for these games, obviously we're encouraging people right now to get out and, you know, get off the couch and go watch these games. But, you know, we just got to shine a more light on Division III specifically as well. And like you said, the more people we can get out to appreciate how hard these young men and women are working, you know, at the Division I, II, and III level, you know, the better off we're going to be. Lacrosse is we need to continue to grow, and a part of that is just going out to support your local, whether it's rec, college, high school teams, and making those guys feel valued and continue to, you know, keep some of these guys who are playing lacrosse involved in the game, you know, moving forward after college, after high school as well.
Awesome. Josh, what's your weekend looking like?
This weekend, I mean, I'm hoping, like I said, Lynchburg takes it to Sewanee, and I can head out up to York on Saturday. The Park High School Bruins, hopefully we'll go 2-0 this week, so we'll go good week. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to catching that. The weather's supposed to be nice this weekend as well. But, yeah, that's the plan, you know. Like you said, I'm going to support the boys and get out there and catch some great lacrosse. What about you?
Park School, as featured in the Baltimore Sun this week. Congrats to goalie Sam Cordish for his feature in the Baltimore Sun, and to Josh for getting that program some publicity. And my plan is I have a nice busy weekend of covering lacrosse. It's work, but it's still fun. I can't complain. Saturday, I'm going to be making a long road trip, go up to upstate New York and catch Lemoyne versus Merrimack in the Division II first round game there, which is going to be awesome. And you know, I'll talk with Coach Sheehan, but it's Lemoyne did not get the seed that they deserved in that, you know, winning the NE10 championship and then getting stuck with a game against their rival that they had to play twice in overtime this year does not seem like a fair place to put them. But anyway, that's a tangent. So I'm going to be going to that Lemoyne game, and then I'll have just enough time to drive across New York to go to Albany for Albany versus North Carolina, and then hustle home the next morning to get back for Mother's Day to spend that with my wife.
So. Awesome. Yeah, you want to talk about putting, you know, butts in the seats? That Albany game is already sold out, I believe, or very close to it. So
yeah, I was talking with Scott Marr, and they had at least the whole bottom level sold out already, which is just, if you've been to that stadium, that's a very remarkable feat, and that's awesome. So everyone support the sport. We will see you on the fields. If you see anyone with an Inside the Cross jacket, please be sure to say hello. It's probably Josh or I or one of our other writers. And we will catch you next week on the podcast.
This is the Division II, Division III podcast.